Welcome to Dig Deep, the mining podcast. In this podcast, we go deep into mining news, hot topics, and live interviews with mining professionals and leading figures in the mining industry. Introducing your host, Rob Tyson, founder and director of Mining International and Mining International Executive, a leading global mining recruitment and headhunting agency.
Mining community, welcome back to another episode of the Dig Deep the Mining podcast. And today's guest is David Austin, who's the CEO, President, and Chairman of the Board of Colonial Coal International, a public traded pure play metallurgical coal development company who hold 100% interest in two resource stage coal properties in the Peace River coalfield of northeastern British Columbia in Canada. With a strong coal background, David has previously founded Northern Energy and Mining Inc. and also Western Coal. So has a wealth of obviously knowledge and experience in the coal sector. And he's here today to tell us a little bit more about the coal market, what Colonial Coal are up to and what they're looking to achieve. And I suppose it's just a general chit chat around coal. So just wondered if we can welcome David to the podcast. So how are you doing, David?
Well, I'm good, thank you. And thanks for having me on, Rob.
No, appreciate your time as well. So wondered if you can give us an overview. As I mentioned, you obviously are have a lot of coal experience and obviously been in the coal industry for a while. So just wondering if you can tell our audience a little bit about your career, about your background, from when you graduated or got into the mining industry to sort of present day.
Yeah. Well, I got in the mining industry. I was kind of tutored by a gentleman who started a copper mine called Gibraltar Mines, Bob Matthews. He had a company called Ram Investments. He kind of brought me into the mining world, explained to me what was required to take a property from inception to production, and kind of learned from him and a few others. I started Western Canadian Coal mainly because of the help I got from two gentlemen, Dave Fawcett and Kevin James. Dave Fawcett was a mining engineer and Kevin James was a coal geologist. The properties came about because of some issues with a company called Denison. The founder was a guy called Stephen Roman. Stephen had died and the whole company went into flux kind of thing. There's some Australian gentlemen came in and they were looking at acquiring the coal assets. They weren't successful, but what came out of that was Dave Fawcett and Kevin James asked me to get involved, and I got involved. I raised them some money, and we took Western Canadian Company public. We didn't plan on taking it to production. That was mainly because of inability to do other things. We had to do what we thought was right, and what was right was to take it to production. About 10 years, less than 10 years after we started, we went public at 65 cents. We didn't raise much money because, quite frankly, nobody actually liked the coal deal. You know, we were hoping to raise about 1.3, 1.5 million, and we barely raised 650,000. So we started off on the back foot, and we just had to keep working at it. And then just short of 10 years later, we sold it for $3.3 billion. Yeah, now we were successful getting it through permitting on quite a few different mines. At the same time, I started a company, it was a company called Gold Bank, that we changed the name to NEMI, Northern Energy and Mining. Terrible name, to be honest. We had to say it all the time. Anyhow, we did the same thing with NEMI. NEMI had a coal property adjacent to the Western coal properties. They really should have gone into Western when I think back of all the things I did wrong. That was one of them. Did the same thing with NEMI, took it into production. And at the same time as Anglo bought us out, was more or less the same time as Western got bought out. And that got the two coal companies gone. And then shortly after that, very shortly after that, there was a mistake made with the coal licenses, and licenses became available again. You know, some of them are just sold. And that's what created Colonial Coal. And that brings you up more or less to where we are with Colonial.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. So just wondered if you can tell us a little bit about, obviously, the company, Colonial Coal, and also a little bit about the assets that you've acquired.
Okay, well, the assets I just mentioned are in North East Coal. North East Coal is predominantly, that's the business. It's a coal area. It goes from basically Chatwin in the north all the way down, and the coal mine town itself is Tumbler Ridge. There was a company called BC Resources Brick that was funded by the provincial government, and it built a port in Prince Rupert. It brought the rail all the way through into Tumbler Ridge and Chatwin, and it basically the government then issued, I think it was 5 free shares, and everybody in the province got 5 free shares. And that was to compensate everybody for, because there was, let's say, billions of dollars were put in by the government to open up this area. Our property is the flatbed property, is very, very close to Tumbler Ridge. There's a rail that comes right down more or less just north of the property. The Heritage Highway goes through the property and then down towards the Huguenot property, which is in the south. The Huguenot property is about 60 kilometers south of the town. The general rule of thumb, and it isn't completely accurate, but it's close enough, is the rule of thumb is the coal quality from north to south, the further south you get, the coal quality improves. But when you go to sell it, it's more or less the same quality coal. It is all a high grade coking coal. I call it a coking coal because it has to be able to coke for it to work in the industry that we're in. Metallurgical coal is another name for it. The one name we don't want to hear is thermal coal. We do not have any thermal coal. And the difference, obviously, is thermal coal is for making power for electricity. Our coal is used in the steel industry. And it is a high premium coking coal.
Obviously, you mentioned, obviously, you've had companies before and you've grown the assets and then obviously sold them. What's your sort of end goal and your exit plan for the assets that you've got now?
Well, more or less the same thing, except this time we're not taking it into production. The one thing I learned from the experience with Western Canadian Coal and NEMI is roundabout way, a different way of telling the story. When we went public on Western Canadian Coal, the biggest shareholder by far was me. I had bought out a business partner, Conrad Swanson. Conrad takes credit for Western Coal, but the actual fact wasn't actually in it for more than the first day. And then on the second day, I ended up buying his position. So I ended up as the biggest shareholder in Western Canadian Coal by quite a bit. 10 years later, when we got bought out, I was a fraction of 1% of the company. That's how much dilution we had to do to raise the money to take it to production. And considering the amount of work that we went into it to get a very small percentage at the end, was an awful lot of work to achieve. Well, financially, I did okay. I'm not complaining, Rob. It'd be kind of stupid to complain about it. I did very well out of it. And I did well out of NEMI as well. But one thing we did learn is when we got bought out by Anglo especially, they were the ones who pointed out that the mining system we went to, which is basically a small mining, doesn't work for big companies. When they come in, they don't want to permit a 500,000 ton mine or a 1 million ton mine. They want to permit 3 million tons to 6 million tons or bigger. The cost of doing that is significant. So when it comes to permitting, it's a bit like building a bungalow in England or a 10-story building. If somebody wants a 10-story building, there's no point in you planning a bungalow. It's not going to do you any good. So you might as well look at what the end user wants and then plan it accordingly. And our properties, the Flatbed and the Huguenot, are both big properties. These are big size deposits. And you can do from 3 million tons upwards on both of them. So the scale of these are for majors and not for small mine companies.
And what's the, I wonder if you can give us an update on the assets at the moment, where you're at, and what I suppose what you've done so far for the remainder or for the beginning part of this year to now?
Okay, well, we've been, COVID hasn't been very kind to us. We actually engaged the bankers more or less the same time as COVID happened. Now, one of the companies that we do business with and one of the people that we have an NDA with is Wuhan Steel. Now, you know, the virus started in Wuhan, and it started, we were over there in around October 2019, and we got back, and then around November, December 2019, is when COVID really started affecting North America. It's had an overall effect right until about October last year, when the Canadian government changed the regulations on companies being able to come into the country. Since October, November, we've had a lot more interest from different countries. China is obviously one of the leaders of the companies that we spend a lot of time with. But in the meantime, India has come a long way as well. Now, in around about November 2019, two major Indian companies came in to see me. And in our past with Western Coal and NEMI, we'd sold coal to India, to CIL and SAIL. CIL stands for Coal of India Limited, and SAIL is Steel Authority of India Limited. Both of them had bought coal from Western Coal and NEMI. The head of that coal division, a coal company, it was a gentleman called Mr. Bhattacharya. I sat down and we put a deal together with Partha, as his first name, and he joined the board of Colonial Coal. His job and his mandate is to help us get Colonial Coal sold. Now, when you look at the bid process of Western Coal and NEMI, the first bidders that came in to try and buy the companies were Indian companies. That's what we're doing now. We're replicating exactly what we did with Western Coal and NEMI. We've engaged bankers. We have Canaccord Genuity as bankers. We have Maxit as bankers. And we have First Asian Partners out of Hong Kong as bankers. We have been approached by additional bankers to represent us as well. So the sales process is going on now. We have about 17, maybe 18 NDAs. There's another one that's pending today. And then these are potential, and let's say they, the best way to describe them is steel mills and mining companies. I say predominantly most of the ones that we're looking at right at the moment are steel mills because they don't have any problems with ESG. They have lots of money. So, you know, the 17, I'd say, yeah, there's a majority of them would say are steel companies at the moment. Yeah, that's where roughly where we're at. If we're following that, Rob.
Yeah. Obviously, coal. There seems to be a bad image globally. Not necessarily people within the mining industry, but people probably outside of the mining industry. Mm-hmm. So, what's the current environment and sediment for the coal industry at the moment globally?
Well, obviously, you know, coal is not good for the environment. Thermal coal is by far the biggest polluter in the world, is thermal coal. It is what we use for generating electricity. And the last I heard, it's not necessarily right, but basically 50% of the world's electricity is made by thermal coal. So obviously that's the issue. Coking coal is used for making steel. You know, they use it for making windmills or Tesla cars and a bunch of other things. The technology for getting rid of the contaminants coming out of the furnaces has been improved over the years and is getting better. If you were to go to China 10 years ago, if you went to Wuhan, which it would be a good example of how they changed. Wuhan has done an incredible amount by upgrading their furnaces. They've switched to ThyssenKrupp equipment. They have Siemens equipment in their site. It's really quite amazing to go and see, and the pollutants coming out of the furnaces are considerably less and getting better basically on a daily basis. Coking coal will probably still be in use for, let's say, the foreseeable future, the next 20 to 30 years. There is a method of replacing it. The problem is the economics don't seem to work. And I think the steel companies and the coal companies are all working towards getting a cleaner product out there. It, you know, from my point of view, if we got rid of thermal coal, it'd be advantageous. When we get rid of coking coal, it'll be advantageous. But we're probably looking at 20 to 30 years before we get rid of either of them.
Which I suppose goes into my next question, obviously around the green energy and the green energy revolution. Do you think coal will be eventually replaced over the coming decades? And obviously you mentioned maybe in 20 years' time, do you think it will be totally, I wouldn't say outlawed, but do you think, and this is, I suppose, talking globally, do you think there still will be coal around in maybe 30, 40 years, or will it be completely gone from the mining industry?
No, I when you watch what's going on with the technology, in a sense, it's a bit like what happened in California in the 70s when they brought in catalytic converters onto cars. What's surprising is how long it's taken some of these steel mills to finally switch on and realize that, you know, they're longevity is also related to what they need to do on the technology side to cut down the particulates that come out of the furnace. That technology is, over the last 5 to 10 years, has significantly changed, and each year is getting better. So I would suspect if you would ask me, are we still be using coal 30 years from now? The answer is probably going to be yes. Whether we're still using thermal coal, I don't know. You know, in regards to coking coal, yes, I'm absolutely positive we'll still be using it. Now, what's going to be coming out of the furnaces and whether we still have stacks and everything, I think it will change. I think when you're seeing what's happening, it will get considerably better. And, you know, whether it's down to zero, I doubt it will be down to zero, but it won't be too far off it.
Just moving them forward in terms of talking about the Canadian mining industry as a whole, obviously you've been living in Canada for quite a long time. Wonder what I wonder if you give us your thoughts on the Canadian mining market at the moment. And obviously, especially with the announcement of obviously Teck and Glencore bid. Just wondered if you can give your thoughts around what's happening in the Canadian mining market.
Well, you know, what's going on with Teck Kamingo is confusing to me. I know that, and I'm a bit dyslexic, so I get the letters around the wrong way, but I think it's ESG. The ESG issue that Teck is suffering from is quite common with a lot of companies. A lot of companies that talk to us mention the fact, you know, they ask us if we have any ESG issues. We simply don't. You know, the companies we're talking to, the steel companies we're talking to, don't have an ESG issue. Coal companies which produce coal, like Teck Kamingo, they seem to have ESG issues, but that seems to revolve around where their money comes from. And then it's, you know, is Royal Bank willing to fund them? Is, you know, and if Royal Bank has an ESG issue, then it rolls into their industry. Doesn't affect us, but there's a couple of things that have actually helped us because of the Teck Kamingo, Glencore. When they restructured Teck, our ex-premier actually went on the board of the NewCo. Now, we're divided in parties, a bit similar to what happens in England. You've got the Labour Party and you've got the Conservative Party. Well, in BC, we have a very similar one. You know, they just changed the name of the Liberal Party to the United Party or whatever they call themselves. And then we have the NDP, which is the equivalent to the Labour Party. Well, the NDP leader, Premier Horrigan, he actually joined the board of Elk Valley Coal. That was a huge help to us because the Indian companies and some of the other companies that questioned whether the government would be willing to help coal companies, having the premier step on board, the major coal company, kind of put a tick behind that. And when, you know, if the government, the premier is supporting it by joining the board, it helps us. So a lot of the things that actually happened between Teck Kamingo and Glencore and other things that are happening is all actually helping us.
Lastly, just wonder what the outlook is for Colonial Coal. And I mean the outlook for the rest of the year. And I just wonder if there's anything else that you would like to add to give our audience. Our audience is predominantly from the mining industry, although we do get investors and service providers listening in. So, yeah, just wondering what the outlook is for the remainder of the year for Colonial Coal and if there's any last thoughts that you may have.
Okay, we like I said earlier, we do have the assets up for sale. The outlook is very, very good because of what's going on with Glencore. It's like put everything in Northeast BC and everything in BC under a magnifying glass. A lot of companies who hadn't necessarily paid any attention to British Columbia, are now, Australian companies, Indian companies, America, especially American companies, are now having a really good look at what we're doing. We've got the assets up for sale. We will sell them, whether we sell them both together or we sell the company. There's a couple of questions on that. The other question is who's going to buy us? That becomes the biggest question is who. And it's possible it might be two different groups. We do have an underground property and an open pit property, and that could create a difference. The prospect in British Columbia is actually very good. When you look at all the mines that we've opened up and I've been involved in, we are in a mining area. The government does give you some challenges, environmental stuff that you've got to go through, but we know how to do it. We know how to make sure that we file everything properly. And I don't think of failure, to be honest. I just know we can get it done and we'll get it done.
Yeah. David, really appreciate your time and obviously telling us about Colonial Coal. Good luck in the remainder of the year. And obviously, hopefully you'll be able to sell the assets to obviously the right people at the right time and obviously at the right cost. So wish you obviously well in that. If any of our audience wants to reach out to you, if they've got any questions or queries, how can they go about doing that? Do you promote yourself on, not necessarily yourself or Colonial Coal, do you promote yourself across any social media platforms?
Yeah, I'm not really great at the social media stuff. I find it more annoying. We do have a website. My son does investor relations with me. My email address is daustin@oal.ca. So ccoal.ca. Anybody wants to get hold of me, you're welcome to email me. My emails tend to be very short, but I will get back to you. And you're welcome. We do have the sales process going on, and we should get a pretty good penny for this.
I wish you all the best in the future for that. And we include those details in the show notes, the company's podcast in the show notes. So anyone that wants to reach out to you, they've got easy access to. So really appreciate your time. Good luck for the rest of the year. Those that are listening, appreciate you listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Please share it amongst others in the mining industry, but also people outside of the mining industry. Obviously, coal, as I mentioned, coal has got a bad name or a bad image. And as David mentioned, there is different types of coal, thermal coal and metallurgical coal. And one is obviously pollutes more than the other. So it'd be good if you could share this episode, let everyone else know outside the mining industry what the difference is. So really appreciate your continued support. And until next time, happy mining.
Thank you for listening. Remember to reach out to Rob via the show notes and be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Until next time, happy mining, helping each other to improve the mining industry.